Hi, Catherine here, coming at you with some chats about race. All right, one of the big questions I'm going to tackle today is what it means to be an ally. What does it entail? What can you do? How can you be part of the conversation? How can you be constructive? Let's get to it. One thing I really appreciate from somebody that is trying to understand where I'm coming from, one thing I really appreciate about people that want to be allies, that want to do better and be better in this space, is asking the hard questions. I actually really like that. I like when people are probative. I like when they challenge where their own assumptions are coming from by challenging mine. That's a really powerful process, and it can be really helpful for both sides because the conversation that way can become quite constructive. For me, a good ally is somebody that is constantly questioning me and themselves. Someone that is constantly questioning how we together can be better, how I personally am trying to be better, and how they can themselves be better to help the conversation continue, to help facilitate that space to work. I really think that a lot of the people that I've come in contact with, who, bless them, have the purest intentions, find it incredibly difficult to come across as not being disingenuous. And that's a risk that a lot of people run, particularly white people in New Zealand that do want to be allies, that want to show support. There's almost like a stigma attached to asking your friends or family members or colleagues that have ethnic backgrounds that are different to yours, because, you know, it's really not the responsibility of a brown person to teach you about what it's like to be a brown person. There are accounts, multiple accounts, there are histories, there are stories available left, right, and center that you can read and look up and then talk to them about. But I appreciate when people come to me and ask those kinds of questions, when people get probative. And that almost runs a little bit contrary to some discourse in race relations somewhere, because the reality is, it is not the responsibility of the oppressed to educate the oppressor. It is the responsibility of everyone involved to ensure that the conversation is happening in some capacity. But that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to be your encyclopedia or your Google when you have got the ability to get those voices elsewhere. And that kind of doesn't really sit well with me, and part of the reason that doesn't necessarily sit well with me is because I do feel like, as somebody with the ability to communicate these things, I almost have a responsibility to communicate these things. I've always thought like that. If I have the ability, I have the responsibility. And I do enjoy having those constructive conversations. I don't necessarily know how to stop them from potentially getting quite heated as passions are rising, but it's definitely part of the process that I enjoy and something that I look for in an ally. Ask me questions, because I'm going to ask you questions. And the more questions we ask of each other, the more we're going to learn. That old adage of there's no such thing as a stupid question, well, I firmly believe that, because I really think it's quite beautiful to ask questions of people when you don't understand. It's the only way we learn, and it's the best way to learn. So I was thinking a little bit about a conversation that I had with somebody, and they told me that they were speaking with a young person who was a bit interested in the Black Lives Matter movement. Now, granted, we're in New Zealand, so I do understand when some people kind of ask the question about the relevance here, because the New Zealand context, in like New Zealand's context of Black Lives Matter and the racial conversation, is very different. And this person told me that their answer to this young person, who wasn't really sure how to explain why they believed that Black Lives Matter was an important movement, was to tell them that they shouldn't support the movement because all lives matter. And this really bothered me. This bothered me so much, to the point where I was thinking about it for days and days and days and days afterwards, and beating myself up a little bit because of how I responded in that conversation. And the way that I responded in that conversation was that I didn't really say much. I kind of just sat there and nodded, and I guess like bit my tongue, clenched my fists a little bit, and I wasn't sure why. I've, over the last year or so, become quite measured in firing up when I challenge people's ideas on race and fairness, and upon reflection, I've found myself wondering if the only reason that I'm biting my tongue is because I'm worried that they will get uncomfortable, because I'm scared of living some black and white vision of life that I can so eloquently write and speak about, but not necessarily like embody those things. And the reality is, it's possible for me to do that, for me to actually live in the same way that I talk about this situation and these things. And if I'm honest, I was incredibly upset at myself for such a long time for not calling this person out about what they said when they said it to me. You know, all the questions that I was thinking. You know, when you replay something in your head, like a conversation that you had, and you go, oh, I should have said that. So I had a couple of those, and I had like these questions that I was thinking, oh man, I should have just asked these, you know. So why did you immediately direct this young person in the opposite direction? You know, why didn't you encourage them to find the resources to help them understand? Why didn't you give them the opportunity to try and articulate? Why did it have to go to All Lives Matter instead of you asking them why they thought it was right or important to support this? And also, why can't Black Lives Matter also mean All Lives Matter? Why do they have to be separate things? Why, you know, why do they have to be mutually exclusive? You know, what made you restrict this young person's curiosity? Why did you want to not give them the opportunity to change their own understanding? I had all these questions that I should have just asked. I'm really mad. I'm really mad at myself that I didn't. Because I guess when I was thinking of them as this person was saying this to me, I just immediately went, nope, that's way too accusatory. I don't want to freak this person out because, you know, I might have this angry brown woman, like, mentality right now, and I might just be this vision of someone that's challenging them that is uncomfortable. And I bit my tongue, and refraining from calling them on it made me realize how willing I was kind of being in prioritizing somebody else's comfort over, you know, trying to keep the conversation going. And the thing is, I love when people ask me about my views on equity and equality and why it's important. I love when they're asking and they genuinely want to know, because I think it's really important to listen to voices that aren't your own. And what bothered me the most about this conversation wasn't necessarily the fact that this person had said to me that their response was all lives matter. What bothered me the most was the fact that this person was an adult who had experienced that, who had experiences that shaped their current worldview. And instead of encouraging this young person to dig into this interest that they have at the moment, instead of encouraging this young person to find ways to explain why they think this thing is important, they just put a lid on it. And that didn't sit well with me. It didn't sit right. It felt like
they were silencing this person, they were silencing the movement, they were silencing the issue that is so important to so many people. And funnily enough, I know the young person that was the person in question. I know them quite well. They are a person of mixed race heritage, and I've had pretty interesting conversations with this young person myself about this issue. They ask me a lot of questions about how I feel knowing that I have a shared heritage with some people who are descendants of slaves, and they ask me how I feel about, like, my own struggles within my blackness. And this conversation and reflecting on the conversations I'd had with this young person in question really made me think about the kinds of things that I appreciate in an ally. Now, this young person didn't know a lot about the context of Black Lives Matter, or even really some of those bigger ideas of systemic racism. And they were so committed to finding out because of, I guess, the interaction and the relationship that I have with them, their ability to approach me about it and know that I'm going to give them the information that I can. And I guess I want to say to this young person, if they're listening, or any other young people that I've had conversations like this with, I have your back, okay? I've got your back. If you want to know anything about this movement, I will do my best to help you understand. I've got your back. I will do my best to answer any and all questions that you have so that you can navigate the space, find where you fit in it. As an ally, as a person of color, I have your back because you've made it so clear to me just by asking that you already have mine. The fact that you are asking, the fact that you are listening, shows me that you've got my back, so I've got yours as well. Thank you for seeing me, because I see what you are doing, I see what you are trying, I see you. So thank you for seeing me. Really, my heart just burnt knowing that this young person had this door closed on them, this opportunity that they could have had to expand their own understanding of that racial discrimination and why this is important, why it was important for them, why it's important for other people. I just mourned for them, and I mourned for myself, knowing that I didn't just, like, say this during that conversation. Because the reality is, I don't actually hide the fact that I'm a supporter of these kinds of movements. I don't hide the fact that I support Black Lives Matter. I do it so openly. In fact, all of my social media is just drowning in incredibly politically charged content. That has to do a lot with the fact that I'm a migrant. That has a lot to do with the fact that I'm a person of color, that I'm a woman. Like, I have things that I want to share so that people can feel like they are heard, so that I can also say that I see and hear the people that are calling for voices to be heard. And I've said it before, I feel like I have this responsibility to keep the conversation alive. Like, we can't live in the darkness of our own worldview for the entirety of our lives, because the only people that really suffer are us when we do that. So I just implore you, uplift newcomers to the conversation, please. If you are an ally, if you have information, if you're able to contribute, uplift these people, especially young people that want to know, that want to be involved, that are still navigating a space that's pretty new for them. Uplift them. It helps us. It helps us all when we encourage each other to dig deeper and understand why these things are important. And frankly, this is one conversation about history. This is one conversation in history that we do not want to be on the wrong side of. So uplift everyone that wants to be a part of it so that we can all be on the right side of it. Hey, if you have anything that you want to ask about racially things that maybe I might be able to add some perspective on, or even if you just want to join me for some chats on one of these episodes, please flick me a message, maybe send through something, and we can get it going.